What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, May 11th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the game playing, roller skating, marathon running, Janet Garcia.
Yo, what's good?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm good. I can't help but notice that you're not blessing, but you know, we'll make
it's weird. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of people are going to call it out. You and I are not afraid to call it out that it's weird that you and I are doing this. I love it. I love doing shows with you, but usually, you and I not this combo. We're not, you know, we're not the combo for this. Blessing is doing something that's embargoed right now, so I get to come in and host with you, which is great. I haven't given, you know, we changed the whole way we do PS I Love You XOXO, available each and every Friday on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. So I don't get to say the marathon running thing anymore. You know what I mean? I changed how I do that. So it's nice to be here. And here's the thing, Janet. Oh, sorry. Bear Courtney on the ones and twos. What you got?
I also can't help but know, like, y'all can't see it, but I'm also wearing the same kind of funny sweater as Janet is.
And nice.
Greg, I can't help but notice you didn't wear
now, that. Now, all right. So you know what? For the record, there's a lot to unpack. I don't mind stopping the entire show to unpack it. As we've said many a time, if you're a PS I Love You watcher, you know, Jan and I, same fucking person. So yesterday, Jan and I hosted a taped segment for the USC Games Expo. You can watch it tomorrow, IGN, 3:30 p.m. or twitch.tv/USC Games, where we will run through six of the games made in the program that are amazing. We will look at all these demos and talk about it, talk over them. I wore the sweatshirt there. Janet texted me beforehand and said, what are you wearing? I said, I'm wearing a kind of funny sweatshirt. She said, which one? I'm wearing one too. And she was wearing the other one. All right. So today that shirt is dirty. Benjamin puked on it last night. You know what I mean? I wore it around all week, then all day, then he puked on it. So don't get in my face about it, boss baby. All right.
I'm going to get in your face about, you know, anything that the CEO Junior sees fit.
I did think about this when I put this on this morning, because I'm like, it's me as Greg yesterday. Because actually before, like when I texted you, I hadn't decided, like I wanted to just wear a sweater because that's just what I normally wear. And I wanted to wear this sweater because I think this might be my favorite of our recent batch. I do like the cropped for the look, but I feel like this is like
the
one I see myself wear. I end up wearing the most often. Maybe it's because it's a crew neck and not a hoodie.
Sure.
But I was going to wear this, but I'm like, I feel like this is probably what Greg is wearing. And I like matching. You know, I like a matching moment. But when it's something that's like outside of us, it seems like we tried to match. And then I'm like, I didn't, though. I just was, you know. So that's why I wore the other one. But then I was like, today I can be the real me, which is really just you in a different font.
The italicized Greg Miller. Here's where I wanted to test you. All right. Because I've had a wave of nostalgia. I was upstairs getting my coffee. You know how your brain just wanders? A wave of nostalgia. Can you guess what I was nostalgic about today? It's about video games.
Is it PlayStation?
It's a general video game thing.
The Sims? You tweeted about that. So
I tweeted about SimCity yesterday. That's
a general video game thing. Wired controllers.
What? Wired controllers? Fuck no. Jesus.
Were you nostalgic about Pong?
No. I was nostalgic for midnight console launches. Pouring the coffee, I was just struck because I think we're going to talk about, you know, Switch and how people, you know, what comes next and yada, yada, yada. And like, I was sitting there, I was like, man. And don't get me wrong, I don't miss it in terms of like, I'd want to do it right now as a 39-year-old. No, I don't want to go wait in line. It's much cooler. I mean, first off, it's much cooler to have our lives where, you know, the console is shipped to us weeks ahead of time. That's pretty fucking awesome. Thank you, everybody. But it's also cooler, I think, just to click the button and have it delivered to your door and not have to worry about it or whatever. But then I was sitting there, I was just like, man. PlayStation 2, the Wii, just sitting out there talking to fellow people, being excited about something, reading your magazine. Those were the days. A simpler time, Barrett. You were a baby.
Sure.
Thank you.
We all were, except for you. You were like 30 already for some reason.
Yeah.
I dislike you.
I didn't have the pleasure of console launches. I just got hand-me-downs.
Yeah, exactly right. I was too broke for the console launches. But then I went in the other direction where now I have like the privilege of like I got the PS5 early and that was very cool. And that was awesome as like actually getting, because console early is like that hits so much different than like a code. Like a code's much easier and widespread than a console. So that was cool. Hopefully that happens with the, you know, PS5 too or PSX or
PS5
PSX
Pro
or whatever. Yeah, whatever ends up being.
Raj Former in the chat says, I only went to one, the PlayStation 4 launch. It was very sad and boring experience. I was listening to Beyond, hoping to find a fellow nerd. Everyone was there just to scalp. And that's the modern day. That's the modern day. I wouldn't know anything about that. I went to New York and got my PlayStation 4, and they engraved it with my name on it. So it was great. I don't know anything about what happened to you. But I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about how Jan and I are going to argue about the best game at the Nintendo Indie World. PlayStation doubling down on keeping their first-party games off PlayStation Plus day and date, and Nintendo's concern about life after Switch. We're going to cover all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over on Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Over on Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the post-show we do each and every weekday, and let me tell you, we have a humdinger of a special one today, ladies and gentlemen. Over on the subreddit, a little man, a little boy, a young person named Jorge wrote in and said, I've applied for a job. They need me. It's in the video game industry, but they've asked me to make a video game, my own gaming resume, to prove that I know things about games. What has everybody got? They were like, there's no idea that it can be creative. It can be whatever you want. What's the creative idea everybody has? And so the subreddit started chiming in, and I said, full stop, Jorge. Come on the post show tomorrow. We will interview you for it. This can be your thing. You just send them a published video on YouTube from Kinda Funny, and you'd be like, bam, this is how it is, because it's a marketing job. So bam, we're going to bring Jorge in here and talk to him about that for like 10 minutes afterwards, and that'll be your post show. Of course, though, if you went there to listen to that on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, you could also listen to the Gamescast. We're recording this afternoon. You can listen to it live before it goes anywhere else. It would be great. It would be fun. You'd have a good time. But if you got no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Of course, you can watch for free at youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com. You can listen on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Of course, you get ads. You can't write in. You'd have no fucking idea who Jorge is. Is that really the life you want to live? Can you sit there right now in your car? Can you sit there right now eating lunch in the break room and be like, I don't give a fuck about Jorge? Is that who you are? I don't think that's who you are. You're a Kinda Funny Jorge, best friend. You want to support Jorge.
I hate my life right now.
By the way, Barrett, I forgot to prep you for Jorge. Do you have a three-person setup? If not, we could just do the... I could turn out... Janet, we'll figure it out.
Don't worry about it, Greg.
I'm not worried. Barrett's Barrett, everybody. You know what I mean? And I see in the chat, too cute to cozy says we love Jorge. Little Caesar says we're all Jorge. That's right. Driving your car right now, having a good time listening to this, thinking you don't need to go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. On the other side of that paywall is a little boy or a little man. I don't know why I said that. Named Jorge, and he needs your help, ladies and gentlemen. I digress. There's all that to do. And then, of course, you can be watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames for free. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on all the platforms I just listed. And let us not forget the Epic Game Store. You can use the creator code Kinda Funny whenever you buy something on the Epic Game Store. If you're using the creator code Kinda Funny, we get a few bucks tossed our way by old Epic. And you might say, I hate PCs. I'd never use the Epic Game Store. Well, when you're playing Fortnite on your Switch, when you're playing Rocket League on your PlayStation, when you're playing anything else that uses the Epic creator code, you can use the Kinda Funny code there and help us out. There's a lot of energy there, Jana. I'm feeling good about this episode.
Yeah, I'm good. Ready to be a part of it. Let's go.
Now, we're Janet, you have a very specific energy. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I'm afraid to ask.
No, it's just like, you know, like I'm like fucking just screaming and yelling and just shoving all the words I can at every breath like I'm going to die in 2 or 3 seconds. You're much more meter. You sit there, you think. What's that like? What's that like to have a thought in your head before you say it? Because I wouldn't know anything about it.
Honestly, I spend most of my mental energy here on content. And when I leave, I am but a shell of myself. Like I have no thoughts, just great pizza, the game that I'm playing on Switch. I did lightly prep for this show by yelling at Isaiah about the Switch in the kitchen. And I was like, getting very animated. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to do the show with Greg. You know, I'm like really just going for it, like for no reason at like 9 a.m. But yeah, we'll get there.
Housekeeping for you, ladies and gentlemen. We got up early, so you have to show us some love. Go watch our Nintendo Indie World reactions. They're up right now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Like I said, tomorrow over on IGN or twitch.tv/USC Games, the USC Games Expo is happening at 3:30 p.m. Beforehand, there's some guy named Jeff Keighley doing some stuff. I don't know. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what he's doing. But at 3:30 Pacific time, Jan and I take over to show you 6 games that are pretty gosh darn awesome and walk you through it. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Anonymous and Fargo Brady. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies and Credit Karma, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 7 items on the Roper Report.
Bakers.
Dozen.
Now, side note before we get started. You said good pizza, great pizza. And I thought you meant like it was just a comment of like, oh, well, you know how like all pizza is either it's mm-hmm. good no matter what kind. That's an actual game you just linked in chat that you're actually yep. playing on Switch where you build pizzas.
Yeah.
Is it's this awesome. Good?
It's good. It's great. It's good pizza. Great pizza. I really like it. And other people do as well. Like I tweeted about it. Apparently it hit iOS like a while ago. So people uh-huh. are like, oh yeah, I played this on my phone. I loved it there. So I'm sure it's great on Switch as well. Yeah, it is what it sounds like. You're running a pizza shop. There's someone across the street in a Bob's Burger style fashion who hates you.
Oh, no.
And is also running a pizza shop. You know, you're trying to like, you're putting down the sauce. When the orders come in, you put the pepperoni in. Sometimes they want it sliced a certain way.
Some is it like Diner Dash?
Not sliced right. at all.
Like I got to go fast and there's like orders piling up. And
you do have to go fast, but it's not quite fast. As chaotic. It is not quite as chaotic as like Diner Dash or like Cook Serve Delicious. It's like a lot. Okay. It's a lot more like it's like one thing at a time, but it takes a while to do this stuff. And you do have a meter that's winding down. And at a certain point, like I accidentally bought all the ingredients and I like couldn't keep playing. Like I had to save scum it. I had to shut down, close out the software because like I couldn't get all the ingredients in fast enough. Cause when you do it, they judge you. They'll be like, oh, this is the pepperoni is not very spaced out here. And I'm like, well, okay. Look, man, the clock was ticking. Then the oven's really slow. You can pay to like speed it up or you can buy a fancy oven, but that's $150. I have some days in this pizza shop, I'm only pulling like $30 in profits. You know, by the time rent hits, one time I got robbed. Like, so it's like it was a whole
simulation thing you got to worry about.
Oh yeah. And you can like buy stuff like the video version. If you're watching the video version, like it's all decked out. Like it starts out really empty. So like the only thing I bought so far was a neon sign that looks like a cat, which admittedly I probably should have waited to buy that. Like there's so many other things I needed to buy. But yeah, I'm grinding away at it. Unfortunately, I don't think it has like a formal credit roll. You know, I love to add to like my list of games I beat, but I'll either sure. just not care about that or I'll count it if I like unlock all the stuff or something. But yeah, like, oh man, I didn't even know, spoilers. I didn't even know you get to three pizzas. Like this is news to me. Some people order multiple pizzas. Anyway, this is like, I'm bringing the post-show energy to the current show. Let's talk
this
about
games. This is kind of funny games about. Daily. These people love us hanging out and they love Jorge. All right. Don't worry about it.
All right. You downloading it? You should download it. It's on sale right now too. It's like $6.99.
No, it's already done. Don't worry. There it is. It's going okay, down.
Let me know. Honestly, start like I expect some like pizza screenshots. Like this will be like our, you know how we talk about like story games? Just talk about like the pizza orders. Like, you know, sure. people will come up and then people order in the weirdest ways too. There'll be like an everything but not sausage with sausage. I'm like, what do you want? What, and there's also a button for that where you can be like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I can't understand what you're saying. And they'll just gotcha. Tell you what it is. But anyway.
See, I'm loading the Switch up. And we're going to talk about Nintendo. So this is a great segue for this trip I got coming up next week, right? And nice. I got that. I can't read it in reverse, but the Urumagawi, the photography game we were talking about on PS. I love you, but I digress. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, number one on the Roper Report. Let's talk about the best game at Nintendo Indie World. Of course, this morning, like I said, Nintendo Indie World popped off a 7 a.m. Pacific stream showing 20 independent games that are coming to the Nintendo Switch platform and other platforms at some point. Things came out as soon as today and then are as far out as 2023. I'm going to read through the 20 games just like that, Janet, all right? And then we can double back and talk about highlights and argue about which was the number one game of the showcase, sure. okay? Yeah. So they started with Ooblets. That's coming to Switch this summer. While I'm here, I'll talk about the fact that, of course, that's already been out for a while. The official press release reads, Glumberland announced that during the Nintendo Indie World Showcase that their creature collecting life sim, Ooblets, will be arriving on the Nintendo Switch this summer. This also marks when the game will be leaving game preview on Xbox and early access on Epic Game Store. Ooblets has grown immensely since its early access release in summer of 2020, with new regions, Ooblets, crops, story content, and many quality of life updates already released for early access players. Now with its 1.0 release, whether players have played during early access period or waited patiently, the developers are excited for players to experience the full breadth of Ooblets. The 1.0 release of Ooblets will include everything previously released, as well as multiple new locations to visit, new quests, and new conclusion to the game's main storyline. So Ooblets, Switch this summer, but also if you've been playing on early access Epic Games or Xbox, full release 1.0. I digress. Then back to it. They showed Batoria Lost Haven. That's coming in the fall. Elected. I don't know. That's not the right. Is that really what it was called?
Elected, yes.
Yeah, okay. Elected. This summer. It's one of those things I write it down during the show and then I mean to fact check.
Oh, we're going to talk about why it's called Elected because I got feelings.
Soundfall is out today right now. You can get on that. That's also one that's on Switch, but everything else as well. Wild Frost is a cute little like inscription kind of game. It's coming out holiday on PC and Switch. Totally Accurate Battle Simulator is coming out this summer to Switch. Gunbrella Stole Hearts and Minds, that's coming in 2023 to Switch. We Are OFK was shown. That's coming to Switch, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC this year. I'm sorry, not even this year, this summer. Silt, is coming to June. It's a Limbo-looking ass game.
The showcase.
Yeah, there were some names for sure. Mini Motorways is out right now. That was a game that came to Apple Arcade that I really enjoyed. Wayward Strands coming out July 21st. Cult of the Lamb is coming in 2022. Another Crab's Treasure is coming in 2023. This is coming to Switch and PC. Then there was a montage of games coming out, including One Shot World Machine Edition, Gibbon Beyond Trees. Yeah, Gibbon Beyond Trees. I have that on my Switch already. It's out right now. Idle Manager is coming out August 25th, which I'm stoked about because I was playing that on PC and enjoying myself, but who's going to play on PC without a Steam Deck? Card Shark is coming out in June, but a demo release today. Cursed Golf is coming this summer. Cursed 2 Golf is coming this summer. We played that on Twitch recently. It's fun. A Guidebook of Babel is coming this fall. And then Opus something. I got to open my email and get you the official one.
Opus,
coming.
Really long. Echo of Starsong. Full
blue. It was one of those that was so long, I couldn't write it down, look at the game, and get it done in the montage space. But those are the 20 games that they announced out there. All interesting, all exciting. But Janet, where do you want to begin? Don't give me your pick what the game best was, or don't reveal it. You can talk about them in any order, but I want to know what piqued your interest from this list of games.
Sure. A lot of things did. I first want to shout out Ooblets for finally leaving early access. That has been a long process, and obviously making games is very hard. But for context, I've been following this game since before I decided to pursue this career. Let that set in. Now, granted, I've had like a pretty... it's short career so far. I feel like I started in 2019, I want to say, but I first like went on YouTube in like 2017. I covered this game on my like 2017 YouTube channel with a friend. That channel's now dead. We have like separate lives. I like did like several other jobs, and now it's finally all coming here to like being out. And I was like, man, this is like, and it is funny like watching showcases like this, especially indie ones, where because they're indie games, they are more, it's more likely that people like haven't heard of them, even if the game has been out on other platforms. And I definitely had that moment with a couple games where I'm like, this looks cool. Like Elec Head looks really cool. That game I think is currently already available on PC. And I'm like, it came out last year. And I was like, oh, I wish someone told me, like it looked totally up my alley. I would have played it. But with Ooblets, I'm like, I don't have that feeling at all. I'm like, this is like, I am incapable of not having known this game. You know what I mean? Like, I've lived in this game.
Storm, remember, we joked about it on the thing. Remember, they were one of the first games, remember, who they announced that Epic Game Store exclusivity. And that was, and they announced it in that really like, hey, don't be a moron kind of way. And then it blew up in their face and everybody got really fucking mad at them. That feels like that was 15 years ago. That feels like something I covered at IGN, but I definitely covered here at Kind of Funny.
That was 3 years. I remember that. That was my first year working here.
And see, that feels so long ago, but that's just how video game years feel, plus a pandemic, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, but Ooblets does seem like a great game. I did play it a little bit already because I have it early access on Xbox, but I wanted to wait for the full version. So I'm just curious to see how that ends up shaking out. Sure. Luckhead seems awesome. You know, puzzle platformer, that's up my alley. And I do want to shout out, again, the interesting names here. Silt, I think, looks awesome. It looks like Abzu meets Limbo is sort of thing that I got from it. You know, swimming, it's sort of like very moody, it's black and white. I like the emphasis that they seem to have on the audio design, which they talked about a little bit during their kind of straight to cam like dev conversation. And yeah, it just seems like a cool, like, I hesitate to say relaxing because it does look kind of horrific, but I don't know, like a moody, interesting ambient thing. I also feel like we're in this interesting era of like an essay era, but like it's two games, but at this after Trek to Yomi, I'm like, there's like black and white games are having a moment. Like
black and white are back.
Yeah, black and white's back. Turn, you know, boot up the old TV that doesn't come in color because it won't matter. There's other things I want to shout out, but just to kind of like, you know, we'll kind of go back and forth. I want to shout out Wayward Strand because as soon as I heard his name, I'm like, carry on my Wayward Strand. Also, someone in my chat named Play Jason, shout out to Play Jason, mentioned because it's the idea is like you're. It's a story game and you're in like this floating hospital and you're sort of eavesdropping and coming to conversations and you're like a journalist and you're trying to put together this story and, you know, you won't get it all in one go because some things are happening simultaneously. Seems really cool. Love the narrative. Love the art. It has like really harsh black like outlines on all the drawings.
Yeah.
Sort of like the kind of animated look of it. But Play Jason in my chat pointed out that a floating hospital, terrible idea. Like you hit some turbulence, you're like you lose an artery. Like I just can't
sense how hilarious that is. The story that the journalist is trying to uncover is why this hospital is floating.
I don't know.
stuff.
But I'm like, it is also funny to me though, because like I didn't like bat an eye at like floating hospital. I'm like, that sounds good to me. But yeah, maybe not the best form of healthcare, but probably still better than what we have in the US. So those are the first things I want to highlight.
Very accurate. Very accurate.
You get healthcare, but your hospitals have to be in, you know, space.
They're in international air, right? It's there's no rules. There's no American healthcare system. You can't worry about lobbyists up there. For me, the ones that stood out, Janet, in no particular order, as my computer literally wigged out there and threw me away from what I wanted to see. In the order that I talked about a moment there, I thought Wild Frost looked cool. This is the cute inscription. The official release from Nintendo read, Wild Frost is a super cute, beautifully designed deck-building roguelike where players build a deck of charming companions and powerful elemental items in an attempt to take back a world that has fallen to the Wild Frost. Coming to PC and Switch this winter, Slay the Spire fans will be right at home using their card strategy and deck-building skills to get that perfect run and reach the Sun Temple. I just like the art style for it. I feel as a Switch game, that'll really work out well for me in terms of something to tinker with on the go or
Greg,
on the couch or whatever.
What was that that game that launched on Apple iPhones on like Apple
Grindstone.
Art? Grindstone. It's got that.
It's got the Grindstone art style for sure.
It does 100%. Have that art style. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, that was. I didn't even have to wait for you to say it because when I saw it pop up, I was like, "Oh, Grindstone? No, this is something different." But it looks a lot like that.
I like the base building kind of they have there too, with like as you progress, like your town kind of builds up. That reminds me of like what Rogue Legacy 2 has, but it seems like maybe it'll be a little bit more. Probably about the same involved because it seemed like
I would think
you
it was
go
same,
and get upgrades and things like that. Yeah. Like I like.
I was really
like
hoping Rogue Legacy 2 would be in this too today, that they'd be like drop it in there, like coming way later this
one
year.
One thing that they didn't have was like the banger port, and that's no shade to like Olek Head or these other titles that like I admittedly just haven't played yet, like even, you know, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator is another, you know, port situation, but I was really expecting something like hot from this year to land, and that didn't end up happening.
I was thinking maybe Tunic, Silk Song, I know people have been screaming for and stuff like that. It was weird. The order of games I read you was the run of show, which meant it just ended with a montage, which I thought was a really weak way
there was
to
no
end.
Headliner, you
yeah,
know
yeah. Anyways, the other game I wanted to, I have two other games to highlight, I guess. Gunbrella, which as I joked, joked around at the top, this is, everybody seemed to walk away from this. This is coming from Doinksoft, is the developer. Devolver is the developer. Wait, Doinksoft is the developer. Devolver, which I screwed up here, is the publisher. 2023. Mm-hmm. The official description reads, take on the role of a gruff woodsman on a quest for revenge armed with the mysterious Gunbrella. In this noir punk adventure game, your investigation becomes entangled with the inner workings of ghouls and gangsters, cops and cultists, and other increasingly bizarre characters in a world rapidly losing its natural resources. Scavenge for scraps and spare parts to upgrade your coveted weapon to glide, swing, dash, dive, and take out enemies in gritty side-scrolling combat. Gunbrella launches on Nintendo Switch next year. Thought this looked dope, Janet. God, it's
so you cool. plan to stand under the Gunbrella?
I do. Under my Gunbrella. Ella. Yeah, this is the music.
It was a good showcase for music-related puns. this does look good. And I think Devolver has been an interesting one for me because while not all the games quite land, I do think they go for style and intrigue in a way that I am always delighted to give their games a shot. I think they have a good eye for picking stuff out that seems eye-catching, and hopefully it lands. I mean, it looks good, so as long as the controls, maybe not getting lost, like I'm trying to think of things that might gum up the works with this one. I think it was also like very stylish, and I'm looking forward to it. Again, black and white. Black and white's having a moment.
What a moment. One that was not black and white, was extremely colorful, and really caught my attention today was We Are OFK. This is one we've heard about before. And if you've been paying more attention than I have, you probably know more about it. I'd heard about it. I knew it was a narrative thing. I was like, that seems interesting. But this is the first time that I thought the trailer grabbed me, caught my attention, drove me in, and taught me more about it. So this is coming to Switch, PlayStation 5, PS4, and PC this year. It's weekly episodes paired with music videos. And it's this summer. I keep saying this year for that. But the official description reads this. Experience an interactive making of the band journey about dreaming, dating, and paying rent in Los Angeles in We Are OFK. Through an animated narrative series released as weekly episodes, you'll interact with a fully voiced cast as you witness the lives of Itsumi Saito and her friends unfold. We Are OFK launches on Nintendo Switch this summer. All five episodes of We Are OFK will be released weekly, accompanied by the release of new OFK singles with each new episode. Episode 1 and Episode 2 will release together at the at first. This features, like I said, 5 episodes of interactive animated series, 5 interactive music videos with debut tracks performed by OFK, fully voiced interactive dialogue, emotional texting, thirst texting, meme texting, emoji spamming. And then their final bullet point was original Los Angeles locations. You're going to love the boba shop. It's wild. I, Janet, do not understand what the game is. I would assume since they're calling out the texting, I'm making text choices and responses there. But the game, whatever it is, looks gorgeous. It's an interactive animated series. And then I went to Spotify and listened to the song that's up right now, Follow Unfollow. And I was like, this is fucking dope too. So I'm in no matter what this ride's going to be.
Nice. I kind of imagine the gameplay being kind of like Oxenfree. God, I've been trying to get the name of that game days. Yep. Anyway, Oxenfree after party. That's kind of what I imagine, where there'll be some like walking sim moments. Hopefully, though, it I think picks a lane and rocks it well. Because I'm thinking of like, you know, games that maybe didn't quite land for that. What's that game you played on Game Pass? It's got like a bunch of different. It's like high school kids, a bunch of different storylines, and it was like just okay. I don't know if you're remembering this game. Maybe you played it on PlayStation. Yeah, I don't know, but it was like I remember that having kind of a mixed, kind of having mixed mechanics, and I think sometimes those mixed mechanics can like flounder a little bit. So good luck figuring out what the name of the game is for the next 2 days. No, you're never gonna figure it out now. Welcome to my life the last 2 days with Oxenfree. But yeah, I mean, a lot of awesome games here. You know, obviously we could spend a lot of time on here, but there's like a bunch of other stuff to get to. I do want to shout out Cult of the Lamb. I've been excited for that for a while. It's in my draft in Fantasy Critic, so shout out to that. And apparently, like, people have, you know, who played the demo at PAX East were pretty hot on it. So
yeah, there was a lot of good buzz coming off of it. Yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, it's the same stuff we've seen before, right? Where it's like you're a cultist, like it starts off with you being sacrificed. You are quite literally a sacrificial lamb. The gameplay is sort of, you know, combat oriented, stylish, like a little kind of burst of a sword, maybe like a little bit of a dash ability. It definitely is taking from, I feel like it's evoking a lot of the elements of hit indie games that we've seen recently, you know, of the way of like Death's Door, things like that, you know, standout characters, kind of some of the key hallmarks, I think, of the last couple of games that have really landed for people.
Full stop.
Hopefully
turns Parks out in the chat says last stop. You're thinking of last stop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it. Thank you.
Yeah, like
much.
I feel like it had a weird blend where like sometimes you were controls, sometimes you weren't. Like it was.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of had a lot. So hopefully this is a little more streamlined. We are okay. But yeah, looking forward to that one too.
Really quick, related to Cult of the Lamb, I highly recommend Adventure Pals. I forget the developer's name, but that was their game. I think back in like 2019 it came out on Switch. It's kind of an action platformer, same art style. You know, it's got a very similar name to Adventure Time, and I would say it's got like that similar sort of Saturday morning cartoon humor. So I think moment to moment gameplay wise, I don't know like how similar it's going to be, but if you want to kind of like check out like where they started before this game and with their like art style, and I also think of just like writing, I think it's definitely worth a pickup. It's on Switch. I remember that being definitely like a standout for me that year in the indie space.
And yeah, then the final one that I want to call out is another Crab's Treasure, 2023 Switch and PC. This is from Aggro Crab, the people who did Going Under, which is a game I really, really loved last year, or maybe 2 years ago. Pandemic again screws it all up. But this one, in this crustacean themed Souls-like game, you'll find yourself in an undersea world on the verge of collapse. As Krill, the hermit crab, you'll need to use the trash around you as a shell to withstand attacks from enemies many times your size. Embark on an epic treasure hunt to discover the dark secrets behind the polluted ocean, with more than 50 potential shells to discover and a host of dangerous enemies to overcome. Another Crab's Treasure is sidestepping on a Nintendo Switch next year.
God.
And this is what's heartbreaking about it. So many of these games are coming next year.
The two games that were like the big highlights for me, this one and Gunbrella. It's like, why show me this? So like, it's gonna be, Greg, I tweeted about this, it's gonna be like Loot River, when we like Loot River was showcased like 2 years ago, and Andy and I were like, hell yeah, this game looks dope as hell, and then like we were constantly trying to be like, all right, where's Loot River? And then out of nowhere it was like, oh, it comes out in 2 days. It's like, oh
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
okay.
That was weird.
And then, you know, I still haven't played Loot River, and I hope that doesn't happen with these two games. Like, I want to, like, god, they just look so cool.
Janet, before you tell me what your favorite game, what the best game of the Nintendo Indie World was, do you have any other ones you want to shout out? Anything else that stood out to you?
I don't think so. I think that kind of covered all the bases, which admittedly was most of them. Oh, I guess Mini Motorways is a good game. I didn't shout that out because I've played it already on Apple Arcade, but that one's good. And then Man, I'm so I feel like One Shot World Machine. I feel like I played that game, but I cannot remember, so I cannot make any comments on it. But yeah, those are basically all of them. I mean, I think it was a pretty solid showcase, even though it did not have a headliner. I think that was its biggest L. But other than that, I actually often leave the indie showcases with, frankly, a lot of times more. Like if it's not a strong main direct, I leave with more stuff to be excited about from these showcases than main showcases personally. So I was cool with it. My pick for the best one. Yes.
It's time for Janet to reveal. Janet's Nintendo Indie World Wonder. What are you picking?
I'm going to pick. Oh, man.
What's it down to? Let us into the brain of Janet Garcia.
So, I mean, I think Umbrella is a dope one, but I feel like you're already going to pick that and that's going to get love. It's fine. Okay. I'm thinking between Silt and Wayward Strand. Because Calls of the Lamb, again, I love that. I love the look of that game. But hi, Jen. But ultimately, like, I've talked about that a bunch. So I feel like I want to go.
Jen's a big weirdo. If you didn't know, Jen's company, Pop Agenda, represented 1/5 of all the fucking games of this thing. So there you go.
Yeah.
What are you picking?
Emails after. I got a lot of emails.
Emails from Pop Agenda.
Yeah. That's like, and then I was like, I'm on the Oblitz email too, so I'm getting like double emails and the same things. I think I'm gonna pick Silt, because it, I think, had the most style. And even though like there are definitely other games that sort of scratch the itch that Silt is kind of going for, it seems there aren't that many. And like, you know, I think, again, I don't know if this is going to be like Abzu or how much it'll be like Abzu or whatever, but like playing that game felt so unique and special to me that I think the idea of just so, and also swimming is notoriously kind of rough in games, so I think any game that goes for swimming directly and is kind of doing that exploration is usually a bit interesting to me just from kind of the novelty of it, and often like the solid controls. So I'm gonna go with Silt.
Okay, I appreciate that. Janet's Nintendo Indie World Wonder, ladies and gentlemen, is Silt. Congratulations, Silt.
Yeah,
you can expect
not a good name, though, admittedly. I hope that makes sense later, but even then I'll still be annoyed by it.
Silt. I've seen Roger Porcone in the chat poking fun at me and making fun of, you know, doing all sorts of stuff like he normally does while he watches the show. While you're here, Roger, I need you to make a graphic in the best of E3 vein of Janet's Nintendo Indie World Wonder and then Greg's Nintendo Indie World Wonder so we can present the developers, because Silt from Spiral Circus and Fireshine Games will be getting this. There you go. And I actually didn't read their thing, so let me read their description now that we've given it Janet's Nintendo Indie World Wonder, the highest honor you can get at Nintendo Indie World. It reads like this. Dive into a harrowing ocean abyss and unravel long-forgotten mysteries in this puzzle-adventure game. Explore a surreal underwater realm filled with strange machinery, ancient ruins, and dangerous ocean inhabitants. Possess sea creatures and harness their abilities to solve puzzles and travel deeper to the darkness. Plunge into the dark waters of Silt, launching on Nintendo Switch next month. So there you go. Silt right there. Raj Former says Indie World Wonder. Greg's Nintendo Indie World Wonder. Look, and Janet's Nintendo Indie World Wonder. All right. That's what we need. Maybe put her face in it. Maybe put my face in it. You know, whatever you want. I'm not getting in, but that's the official title we're giving these people. Okay.
What is yours, Greg?
Well, first off, I want to call out the fact that about like 10 minutes ago, Ickity Ackity Oop popped into the Twitch chat and was like, man, I've been listening to Kinda Funny Games Daily for 5 years and this is my first time catching it live. This is great. And then he just put it in again. I hate ads. Crap. You got a sub, man. Get in there. You know what? 5 years. My Nintendo Indie World Wonder, Janet Garcia. And you're in, it's, I, the runner up is Gunbrella.
Okay.
Gunbrella, I thought, was super exciting from a gameplay perspective, a look, and I can't wait to play it. But the 2023 mm-hmm. thing cools me on it a bit. And so I'm putting We Are OFK as my Nintendo Indie World Wonder. I think the fact that it's so close, of course, is a win in the column, but then love the art style, and then I love the pitch of it. Again, a musical narrative is what they're describing it as. I don't fully understand what I'm getting, and then again, 5 episodes of interactive animated series. Okay, so it's not a game. It's an interactive animated series, but it's got game elements and apparently emotional texting, thirst texting, meme texting, emoji spamming. That's great. And then the fact that I fucking love the music. Like, I legitimately, like, listened to the one single they have on Spotify mm-hmm. 3 or 4 times in a row, and then let it Spotify do the recommended stuff. But then I came back and listened to it 3 or 4 times in a row again. So I'm down with
it. I'm surprised it took you this long to, like, get on board with We Are OFK. Because I was talking about We Are OFK. That was so hard to say for some reason. For a while. Like, to me, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's like a PlayStation indie that's, like, going to be on Switch. So
that's my thing where it's, like, I've known about it, and I've seen stuff about it. I just haven't given it the time of day, if you will. But now it's imminent. I understand what I'm getting into, and I like that.
Well, y'all, when you are in the chats complaining, oh my God, we keep seeing this game, it's because of people like Greg. Like, sometimes it takes like the third or fourth iteration for it to break through.
That's true. I'm not going to argue with you on that. You know, I wish I could tell you you're wrong, Janet, but you're not wrong. It just has to be the right thing. All right. There you go. Greg's Nintendo Indie World Wonder. We are okay. Janet's Nintendo Indie World Wonder. Silt. You've seen it, ladies and gentlemen. You know it, ladies and gentlemen. And now the show can move on. But not before two things. Number one, I see you in the fucking chat, everyone. All right? Janet, are you looking at the chat at all today? Have you been glancing over at it? Mm-hmm. GameSpot's Lucy James and Timur Hussein have come in to hijack it and ask over and over and over again to see my filing cabinet. As you probably don't know, because why would you even care about it? I had tweeted weeks ago, months ago, about getting a new filing cabinet. And Lucy texted and was like, I want to get a filing cabinet. Send me a photo. And I never sent the photo because I just forgot. You know, I'm busy. Lucy has nothing to do. She's just got this one cat to keep alive. Nothing else going on in her life. And so now, for some reason, that's bled over into the chat where they want to see it. And it's just like, first off, Lucy, you remember I have a rolling filing cabinet. We live together. You saw that filing cabinet, right? That could go under the desks or whatever. It's here. With Ben eventually going to use these legs and stomp around the house, I didn't want more rolling things, right? So I went for just a basic filing cabinet that just sits on the ground. So hold on. I got a lot of stuff on it. So I got to push that off. Hold on. Oh, there's my iPad. It was
also, shout out for Barrett coming into the chat to also say cabinet with all the spaces between the letters.
Great. So, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's anything special. It's just a black filing cabinet, right? Like, but it doesn't have, what I like about it is that it doesn't have like the rolling filing cabinet I have over there, Janet, right? It's got the three drawers where it's like the one filing drawer on the bottom, but then two half drawers that are like, I got just junk in them. I got just, you know what I mean? Like junk drawers. I didn't want that. So I just have a full blown like filing cabinet, you know?
Yeah. What are you filing in there?
Oh,
are you still transferring over?
Taxes and immigration, Ben papers, and all the insurances, the 401ks. Janet, you strike me as somebody who's a terrible adult like me too. How long do we hold on to any of this shit? I got taxes from like a million years ago. I don't care.
Honestly, I'm just kind of rolling the dice. But you are.
I save all this shit, and I'm like, why am I saving? Like, I don't think I'm gonna
digitize more of it then.
Oh, Janet, I don't want to go like fucking to the scanner. I don't want to be scanning stuff too.
You have a scanner though, right?
Yeah, I got that brother printer. It does everything. Yeah. Brother printer.
You're a better adult than us. Like, I don't have a fucking scanner. Jesus.
Well, I only have the printer.
Yeah, you got to be able to scan. Barry, you should get a scanner because when you need one, like, you don't want to have to like go and do like, it's just the convenience, you know.
8-bit Louise in the chat, who seems definitely like a more well put together adult, says 5 years is the default. 5 years. Greg.
I'm sorry. The one that got me there was Monster Mama Baby Lover Daddy, who in the chat says, my house burned down, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. Honestly, I don't want my house to burn down, but if somebody stole the filing cabinet, then I was like, you know what? I just have PDFs. Everything's saved. Everything's out there. Like, I opened the filing cabinet here, right? And what do I have here? There's one labeled Allstate. I haven't used Allstate as an insurance company in like a decade. Why do I still have it? Well, once you have it going, Barrett, what do you do with it? You know?
Now I feel like I'm looking into my future because I don't want a filing cabinet because that's too much for my needs, but I do want like some type of little like binder thing because I have now all my important papers are on this little like claspy thing.
Now,
and that's it.
This one here, these are just memories. This is a memories folder.
This is going to be the episode where Greg accidentally shows us his social security number.
This is a police report I filed with it was a citizen's complaint against the Columbia, Missouri Police Department I filed in about 2000. You know what I mean?
What's the complaint?
Oh, Janet, you've said it before that I'm a writer, right? You know, you've acknowledged that or whatever. The complaint is multiple pages.
God. Did they do anything, Greg?
Yeah, the guy got in trouble for it, right?
Details
of the incident.
22 years ago.
Let me just make sure there's nothing on. No, I shouldn't show it, I guess. The details of the incident are 5 lines here, right? And then I go on to write. I counted the pages here. Hold on. I go on to write
seven pages. As much as you can. You
seven
know?
Pages, yeah. But here's my opening statement. The mission of the police is to serve and protect. Officer, I'm blanking out the name of the person because I seems to think it is to intimidate and threaten. Yesterday, September 18th at roughly 6 p.m., my roommate woke me up and told me the police wanted to speak with me. I went to the porch where... continued. You don't need to worry about that anymore.
So people were calling Greg Karen Miller in the chat, but like, it sounds like Greg is kind of based fighting against police there.
Yeah.
ACAB.
That's the opposite.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Yeah, I wasn't complaining about people. I was complaining about the police. There wasn't a complaint about like totally neighbors. It was them. The police were like, we had a lot of reasons to be getting in trouble. All right. We threw a lot of fucking parties. I understand. This time when they pulled me, I was asleep and they pulled me out on the porch to yell at my roommate having a keg on the porch. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have a moment here. I need to, you've ratcheted me up to be angry about the Columbia Police Department circa 2000. I'm not having it. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You're going to be part of the show. You can support Jorge. We can have a great time. You can also get the show ad free, but you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now. So here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Credit Karma for sponsoring this episode. Have you ever been rejected for a credit card? It happens way too often. That's why Credit Karma created Karma Confidence Technology, helping members apply with more confidence. Are you earning credit card rewards? Credit Karma can help you compare your rewards options so you can find a card that fits your lifestyle, helping you earn miles or cash back for spending money that you're going to spend anyways. Of course, I'm a huge fan of that. I love Credit Karma. One of my favorite features is how Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your chances of approval before you even apply, which helps you apply with more confidence, and then it doesn't affect your credit score. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. They also partner with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you're exploring all sorts of options. I love Credit Karma. It's so easy to use. Fantastic stuff. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. Go to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app to find the card for you. That's creditkarma.com. Shout out to MeUndies for sponsoring this episode. You know those days when your coffee shop is out of cold brew and your air conditioner breaks and you try to go to the beach but there's zero parking spots? Yeah, life can be hard. Good thing MeUndies is here to help you take a break from the hardships of the world and give yourself a soft summer. Of course, I don't need to tell you. I got the MeUndies shirt. I got the MeUndies lounge pants. I'm wearing the MeUndies undies, the socks. Even my face mask is MeUndies. I absolutely love MeUndies and their soft micromodal fabric, and you're going to love it too. I absolutely guarantee it. With MeUndies light and breathable micromodal fabric, you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. They have super fun seasonal prints and tons of styles to choose from in sizes extra small all the way up to 4XL. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you. Any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off. If you sign up for the free-to-join membership, you can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. To get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
Number two on the Roper Report, PlayStation says first-party games would deteriorate if they launched onto PlayStation Plus on day one. This is Victoria Kennedy at Eurogamer. PlayStation has said it would have to cut budgets and lower the quality of AAA games if they were included in the PlayStation Plus. In PlayStation Plus at release. I hate it when I slip into my grandmother. In the PlayStation Plus at release. Quote, I will refrain from making comments on the competitor's strategy, PlayStation exec Hiroki Totoki said to investors during the company's latest financial call. Our current thinking is to have development costs and appropriate R&D investment for quality products, and that will improve the platform and improve the business in the long run. AAA types of games on PlayStation 5, if we distribute them on subscription services, we may need to shrink the investment needed for that, and that will deteriorate the first-party title quality, and that is our concern, quote. He concluded, so we want to make sure we spend the appropriate development cost to have solid products slash titles to be introduced at the right manner. This is in line with what PlayStation boss Jim Ryan has said in the past, quote, the games that we make are getting bigger, they're getting better, they're getting more beautiful, they're getting richer, the narrative is getting stronger. Putting these games into a subscription service immediately upon their release would break this virtuous cycle, and we wouldn't be able to invest in the way that we're currently able to. So, we're not doing it. Janet, do you buy this, or is this PlayStation money grubbing bullshit?
They're getting stronger. That's all I can do with that. The narrative's stronger, it's bigger, it's better, it's richer.
You can't stop them.
It's a machine. I mean, I would say I do buy it, only because I don't know. It's so weird because whenever you like believe anything that anyone says, it's kind of like, well, I have no reason not to, except for like general skepticism. But
yeah.
I can definitely see that. And I know people will say, well, like Microsoft does it. Again, they're just very different companies. Again, and that's also not to say that they'll never do it. Like, I would never say never for pretty much anything. But it makes sense for why it doesn't fit their model. Again, whether or not it would deteriorate, I think they think it would be have a negative impact. It would maybe like affect the creative choices they make to a point that they don't want to mess with the formula they have. And what they have generally does work. And I think there is a world where PS Plus or PS Plus Plus Plus, like the revamp, the remix, can be successful and compelling and worthwhile without having the day and date, even if the day and date would be nice. And then I also, you know, in addition to, again, the company just being different, like I point out all the time that, like, sure, like Microsoft stuff, first party day and date, but there, the cadence of first party Microsoft games is very different than the cadence of PlayStation's output. That's just fact, right? Like, it's just, I mean, like that's the truth. So I think it would look a lot different if they did that as well, for that reason. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Again, if any world that can get more games into people's hands more easily while also benefiting the developers is a world I am for. And yeah, I do kind of buy that they, it doesn't make sense for them right now in their business model.
Exactly. Maybe one day I think that's the thing. I agree. I think I buy it there because their model is working for them. They are clearly doing very well and their games are doing very well. And somebody in the chat, it already went by for me, right? It was like, if this was working, Nintendo and PlayStation would have done it yesterday. If it made sense for them, like if it was a no-brainer, if it was what it is. Xbox, of course, is all, as always, trying to make up ground. They're trying to win this war of, hey, we're not even about the box anymore. We're about having Xbox everywhere you are and have it be ubiquitous and yada, yada, yada. They're doing something different than what PlayStation is doing. And so, yeah, I think the funniest thing as always is just this, the virtuous cycle that Jim Ryan calls it. That makes it always sound a little more highfalutin than I think it needs to be or whatever, but it's a business model that works for them. And I can see where, again, deteriorate makes it sound a little bit like the sky is falling, but it would change how they make games. And right now is what, you know, it ain't broke, so don't fix it. But as soon as it is broke, I bet you'll see PlayStation getting games day and date there. Mm-hmm. Number three for you. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order dev claims requests for a black and or female lead were rejected. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. A former Respawn Entertainment developer has claimed that requests from team members to make the protagonist of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order female and or black were shut down. The response allegedly centered around the fact that the Star Wars franchise had a female lead after the movies as Rey, and the game already had two prominent black characters. Nora Sharemic, a lighting artist at Respawn who worked on Fallen Order, tweeted that multiple employees pushed for a black and or female protagonist during development before the game launched in 2019, but were rejected because the game and wider franchise already represented those communities. Quote, when I worked on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, a lot of devs wanted and advocated for the main character to be black and or a woman, Sharemic said in a tweet spotted by Games Radar. The reasons apparently given for not going in that direction were because, quote, we already have two black people in the game and Rey is a woman and we can't do that too, end quote. Fallen Order was eventually released with a white male lead, Cal Kestis, who has since become an established part of the Star Wars business and canon. Following up on her previous tweets, Sharemic added that these decisions were made at the Respawn level and were not the result of an evil EA or overly controlling Lucasfilm/Disney. Quote, it was our team's game, and yes, a few of the people with decision-making power made choices, she said. The issue isn't with Cal or his actor, but about opportunity lost. Sharemic clarified that these were her personal experiences with, quote, a few people who had the opportunity to push for change, end quote, and added that, quote, I no longer work at Respawn, and from my understanding of people who do, there have been changes since my departure, end quote. Sharemic also shared an alleged experience of racist commentary at the studio, saying that someone once commented, quote, I think all the black people needed to have more glossy skin because black people have more oily skin than other people, end quote. Please remember, I'm quoting someone. The comment was met with, quote, dead shock on everyone's face, Sharemic said. We've contacted Respawn. This, of course, IGN. We've contacted Respawn for comment. Sharemic declined to comment further to IGN. Janet, what's your read?
I think this is pretty typical in people's attitudes towards diversity in general. It's always like something. Well, by always, I mean like the unfortunate reality is like I think racism and sexism are fairly prevalent in just society in general, even if, you know, on the day to day, I'm not necessarily always having those direct interactions, though online, I don't have to look very far to find any of them ever on any content I do ever. So I'm throwing that out there as well. So, but I just kind of want to color like how I'm describing these kind of circumstances. A lot of people do have these attitudes where it's this idea of there's like almost like, and again, this is the just the attitude I see where it's like, oh, there's like the baseline, the default, and then there's like other, and other is like everybody that isn't, you know, a straight white man for the most part. So it's this idea that, well, we can like keep that same energy is my thing. Like people act like you can have too many POCs or like you don't need another woman because it's already been done or what
we have Ray.
But there's there's never that for like, you know, white men. Like, I've had too many of white men in games all the time.
Janet, we're the default, right? Just to take devil's advocate, right? I mean, they already had Rey going. Come on, the white man gonna have a chance to shine in Star Wars? God damn it!
Also, not to mention that Cal was like so boring. I hated Cal as a character, but anyway,
let's not take shots.
That's not because he's a white guy. It's just because he was. They made him boring. Like, I don't know. Maybe
I don't know. Whatever. Some would say that, you know, his journey with PTSD was very emotional and one of the best arcs in a Star Wars.
His relationship with BD-1,
I wouldn't know,
Janet.
Because I couldn't understand the fucking map, so I didn't get that far into it.
she brought it back around.
I got other and I played it at launch and it was like really a mess. But anyway, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order takes aside. That's just sort of how this reads, and I think like again. I implore people to also really reflect on the biases that they have, because while many of you listening maybe, at least some of you listening, wouldn't make comments like this, you might still kind of have that thought in your mind where you're like, oh, another one, really more? And that's often, like, again, the case. Like, people will say, oh, they're clearly pandering. Like,
they're doing diversity for diversity's sake.
Exactly. But, you know, all the people that are so ready to talk about creative vision and censorship never want to come out for anything that's in support of, you know, minorities to any degree. Like that's so often the case, and it's really, really tiring. So yeah, I mean, this does not shock me, because that is often how that treatment is, where it's like for representation, you get like your one. Like everyone else has hundreds and thousands, and you maybe get one. And you're fucking excited when you get the one, because you're like, this is the only one I have. Like, this is all I got. Anyway, so there you go. That's my reaction. I hope the next game is good.
First game was good too. But let's not throw the baby out the bathwater here. All right.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it another try, but probably not.
You should. I mean, I adore Fallen Order. But
yeah,
like,
I played it on like an old Xbox one. Yeah, it just didn't work well for me. And then like it's kind of like soulsy in the combat. And then I could not understand that map for the life of me. Like the
map's
very
trouble,
fun, but
yeah. Anyways, though, yeah, I think you nail it. There's not. I mean, back to it. I adore Jedi Fallen Order. I would have equally, if not more, enjoyed it with a POC, a woman, whatever. Like that, it could have been a fucking droid. I don't know. Like, I think it's such a weird ass response to be like, and again, to even what Nora's saying in her quotes, right? It was like, this wasn't EA, it wasn't Lucas. It was people she's talking to in like smaller groups. So I don't even think it's a giant, I shouldn't even say that. She's saying it's not a giant respawn thing as much as having some really fucking obtuse conversations with people who have the decisions, who have the ability to make change. And they'd be like, oh no, well, they already have Rey. Oh, we already have black people in the game. Like, those are shitty fucking arguments to stand on for what you're doing, especially when, like, Cal's relationship and, like, the PTSD you're talking about, Barrett, right, comes from his relationship with his mentor, who, of course, is some fucking weird-looking alien. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are we hung up on, like, who the alien is talking to? Like, it could be anything, you know, whatever. I digress, but yeah. And then, of course, this, you know, this glossy skin thing. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah, big oof.
Shut the fuck up. Big huge oof, yeah. But yeah, racism sucks, and there should be more POCs and women of color and women in games and all that stuff. And, you know, all the stuff we say are kind of funny all the time that, you know, we believe and feel. But if you're listening to this going, fucking SJWs, you can leave, and we don't want your subscription, and we don't want your money, and I don't want you to go to Patreon and help Jorge. I want you to just go away. There's plenty of other content for you to go consume.
Probably had enough of people coming in. Don't add any more.
Number four on the Roper Report, Nintendo says the transition to its next console is, quote, a major concern for us. This is Andy Robinson over at VGC. Nintendo president Shuntaro Furukawa has said the company's eventual transition away from Nintendo Switch. Whoa, Indie World Wonder. Oh, man, look at that. We got
really
an Indie World Wonder thing. Raj made it. Yay.
It's really adorable.
The company's eventual transition away from Nintendo Switch to its next hardware platform is a major concern for the company. Speaking during a Japanese investor Q&A this week, translated by VGC contributor Robert Cephazone. Oh, Jan's trying to get her Indie World thing. Mm-hmm. Robert Cephazon. Furukawa said the company planned to alleviate the risk of resetting its 100 million plus user base by building long-term relationships with its users, partly via Nintendo accounts and by using IP outside of gaming. He was replying to a question about how Nintendo has been able to maintain a strong game release schedule 6 years into the Switch's life cycle and what his thoughts were on transitioning to the next hardware platform. In recent history, Nintendo followed up its big successes, such as the Wii and DS, with significantly less popular successors, the Wii U, 3DS. And he said the company was mindful of these experiences. Quote, we've already announced a portion of our software roadmap releasing up to next spring, he said. Unlike the past, we continue to have a large variety of games scheduled to be released even beyond 5 years of release. This is because the Nintendo Switch has had such a smooth launch, allowing us to focus all our development resources on a single platform. However, the question of whether we will be able to just as smoothly transition from the Nintendo Switch to the next generation of hardware is a major concern for us. Based on our experiences with the Wii, Nintendo DS, and other hardware, it is very clear to one of the major obstacles is how to easily transition from one hardware to the next. To help alleviate this risk, we're focusing on building long-term relationships with our customers. While we will be continuing to launch new software on the Nintendo Switch, we will also provide services that also use Nintendo accounts and other IP outside of gaming software. We intend for this to help build a lasting impact with our customers, end quote. Janet, you've highlighted two things in here. What are you thinking?
The ways that Nintendo is looking towards building relationships with customers outside of like the gaming IP element, because we see that with stuff like the movie
Super
the
Nintendo movie. World.
Super Nintendo World. Look, I'm so excited for Super Nintendo World. I need to start saving now for Super Nintendo World, because even though I'm going to write all of it off, because it is, I'm going to make content with it, so it'll be fine. I am going to spend so much money at. Like, I want to give that thing all of my money, and I'm so excited. And also, that's going to be a place where you can use also the Nintendo account. There's not a lot of, I feel like, utilization of the Nintendo account outside of their software currently. The only real utilization that I ever experienced personally, doesn't mean it's the only thing, is I went to the store in their Redmond office, and you can, like, punch in with your account, and they give you some points. And I was like, great! And, like, I mean, more of that would be awesome. Like, I would... I think Nintendo's also point system is like one of the strongest things they have going for them. I feel like I'm getting points all the time. I've gotten so many free games off of my points. I've redeemed granted, they're not totally free because you have to pay for shipping, which kind of sucks. And like, I get that element, but it's kind of like, can I just use more points to pay for the shipping? Like, I don't want to pay for anything, but I've gotten like the mail-in stuff. I have like a Mario like keychain and like Pikmin decals on my glasses. Like, I am the target audience. I do think they're right to be afraid. It's scary. It's always scary, I think, pivoting to a new console, and especially when historically there's up times and there's down times, and the Wii U was definitely a downtime. The Switch launch was huge for them. And the idea of what comes next, not only like, is it another Switch? Well, then you end up with like the Wii U situation where people were like, is this a new console? I don't understand. What's the thing? Like, not to mention you're competing in kind of a different space with things like the Steam Deck. Again, the Steam Deck does kind of service a different audience than the Switch does. And again, none of it matters because you can't play Mario on it. I mean, maybe, I'm sure someone's like doing some hacks, but you can't.
Oh, there's definitely hacks, yeah.
It's about where Mario is. Like, Mario's on the Switch, Mario's on Switch 2, Switch Boogaloo, whatever. But yeah, that's going to be a big deal. Not only like, what are they doing next? How are they like carrying people over? And yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of room for growth, I think, with Nintendo doing things better. And I'm interested to see what ways they really are trying to like keep people invested and keep people in. I mean, one thing that would be great is if they really made online a lot stronger and then let that kind of carry over in a cool way. That would be great, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great if you have a functioning online. That's great.
I keep buying stuff all the time, and like, I'm still gonna do it, so I guess that's why you're okay. But like,
part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm the problem and the solution for Nintendo, so holler at me.
Someone in our circles, I forget who, but a games journo quote tweeted this and was like, I'd be more worried if it wasn't a major concern for them, right? Like, it's good that this is a concern. The headline and the structure of it makes it sound like doom and the sky's falling, but of course they're concerned about this. They are having such a fucking moment with the Switch, and they continue to kill it and crush it. And like, yeah, you have to have, if you're Nintendo, think about what comes next and how do we keep that momentum and when do you do it. You know, we talked about it yesterday with the financial numbers of like the one analyst saying that the Switch could overtake the PlayStation 2 as the most successful home console of all time, and I'm sure it will when Nintendo does the next redesign of the Switch and the next redesign of the Switch. And when they put out the, if they put out whatever the next console is, but still call it a Switch and do whatever, and not do a Switch 2, but you know, the little weird naming conventions Nintendo does, like, they have all the momentum right now, and you don't want to fuck that up, and you don't fuck that up by being concerned about it and having these conversations. So we have to wait and see what that leads to, but it makes sense, yeah, of what it is. And it is interesting, like you're talking about, of long-term relationships with the customers. Like, Nintendo obviously already has such a long-term relationship with customers, right? Nostalgia is what fuels Nintendo and what fuels everybody to rebuy the same fucking games all the time. I will rebuy Super Mario World all the goddamn time.
It's still a great game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think, you know.
And so is Mario 64. Don't let anyone tell you different. The camera's really not that big a deal.
It doesn't age well.
It ages fine. Terribly. I stand by that.
Number five on the Road Report. We'll get out here before this turns into blows. EA is teasing four games in 2023, including a new remake and a major IP. We go to Rebecca Valentine at IGN.com, who writes, Electronic Arts offered its investors a sneak peek at what's cooking for 2023 today during its earnings report, including planned major IP as well as an unannounced remake. A slide on EA's Q4 2022 earnings presentation gives a look at its next 4 months of releases, with F1 22 in Q1, FIFA and Madden NFL in Q2, and Need for Speed and NHL in Q3. In Q4, which covers January through March of 2023, we get one name franchise, PGA Tour. But we also see four big enticing unknowns. Major IP, partner title, remake, sports title. It's not clear now exactly what any of these four are. The remake invokes thoughts of the known Dead Space remake, but it's unlikely this is the case. EA both mentions in a footnote that all four games have not yet been publicly disclosed, and Dead Space was officially announced last year. So it looks like we're getting a second remake of something in 2023. While I'm here, I was going to put this into new dates, pointing out there's going to be a Dead Space developer live stream tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific. They're going to be focused on the art. The team at Motive will be giving viewers a deeper look at how they're leveraging the Frostbite engine, Gen 5 hardware, and PCs to visually evolve the remake and all the environments, characters, et cetera, et cetera. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., Dead Space thing. Back to the article from Reb, though. For the major IP, it's possible we're looking at the next Dragon Age or Mass Effect game, both of which are currently in development but haven't been given full-blown public announcements with titles and fanfare. It's worth noting that in the following slide, EA lists new studios in the Seattle area that are working on unannounced open-world action-adventure game, which is another possible candidate for whatever this is. Plus, Motive has an unannounced IP under its banner alongside Dead Space. As for the other two, one possible guess for the sports title is that we're finally seeing the fruit of EA's announced return to EA Sports college football, motherfuckers, since no title has been officially revealed yet. We just know they're working on it. The partner title, meanwhile, is anyone's guess. Perhaps another game for the EA Originals label? Maybe another Joseph Ferris adventure? ? Janet, does this get you going? Are you percolating? Are you excited for this?
I'm honestly not really, only because it's so vague, you know. It could be anything. Sure. Which is, yeah. Like, it, I guess that could be exciting, right? It's like you can dream a little bit and then let those be ready for those dreams to die when college football probably doesn't come back. But that would be really cool if it did.
They've announced it, Janet. It is coming back. Don't worry about that.
Obviously EA has a very storied history with sports stuff, you know, people in the chat mentioning like the, you know, past IP that they're really excited about. But yeah, I mean, I love EA Originals as well. Even when they don't hit, I'm like, that's fine. Just give me another one. Yeah. Like, I'm going down with this shit. I'm going wherever this boat takes me.
I was thinking more of that. That was such a cool thing when Peter Moore back in the day announced that program and was like, listen, we're making Unraveled because we make FIFA and FIFA makes money, so much money. So we can make Unraveled and we don't care if we make money back off of it. Like, we're going
to
make
Unraveled
cool shit.
2. That's very rare for an indie game to get a sequel. And Unraveled 2 is just as good, if not probably better, than Unravel 1. So go play both those games. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing something else from Hazelight, though. I feel like
it's too soon.
I definitely know. I know Hazelight at this point. Not that I don't want to see more from them, because I actually sort of cooled a lot on It Takes Two after having world credits on it. And I've just been cooling more and more, and now I'm just frigid. But what I like about EA Originals is it surfaced things that were new to me and new to the audience. So I'd like to see more of that stuff. But what about you? Any other dreams outside of college football?
College football isn't a dream. They've announced it, Janet. It's happening. The rumor was 2023. I don't think they're talking about before the end of the quarter or March. That's a weird time to put it out. Mm-hmm. College football, I feel like NCAA games used to come out in summer, right? Leading into the return of college football. So to drop it in right after winter, it seems like that'd be weird. But I guess if you timed it around the national championship, it would make sense. But I digress.
Also, I do have the poll in chat about did Mario 64 age well. It's now, it's 54-46. Yes to no.
Yes.
So,
Barrett's wrong, it looks like.
Well, the poll isn't over.
I'm sorry, we don't have time. We have to keep
going. The poll isn't over yet.
We're already late, Barrett. Jorge's waiting, Barrett. Other thing I want to see, I've said it for years, I'll say it again. I want Road Rash. Give me a new Road Rash game. Give me a full-blown Road Rash game, EA. Make me happy.
Also, that major IP, I think we're all in agreement, that's probably Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that kind of lines up with what Jeff Grubb has been saying about that game most likely being pushed to next year, since Q4 100%. 2022 goes up until April, I think, of 2023.
The remake's the one. Well, I guess if you remade Road Rash, that'd be it. Okay, there you go. Then we've done it. Major IP, Jedi Fallen Order. Partner title, some original. Remake, the one I just said, and I'm playing Road Rash. Sports title, college football, time with the national championship. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry I have spoiled everything for you. Number 6 on the Roper Report, these are some fiscal year quick hits. Remember, we had a whole bunch of fiscal year shit last year. No, yesterday. And now we have a whole bunch more, but it's way quicker than I can give to you. So Ubisoft update from Nibel over on Twitter. From Ubisoft's earnings report today, Mario plus Rabbids 2, Avatar, and Skull and Bones are all set to release within fiscal year 23, which means by March 31st, like we were just talking about. I'll believe it when I see it, but good to know. I mean, Mario Rabbids, sure. Avatar Skull and Bones, believe when I see it.
That sucks because I had it in my draft for this year, so now it's going to be wasted, probably.
Burn. Resident Evil Village has driven Capcom to a fifth year of record profits. This is GamesIndustry.biz's James Batchelor. Capcom enjoyed... Huh?
It's a good game.
No, it's not. It's actually not a good game. It's a fine game. Not
just
that exciting.
The
medium's a better survival horror game than The Village.
We should talk about that though, because I have so many
we just don't have time, so I just have to take my word for it. Capcom enjoyed another record year thanks to key releases such as Resident Evil Village and the Switch exclusive Monster Hunter spinoff. The Japanese publisher released its full year results for 12 months ended March 31st, 2022, with net sales up 15.5%, a new company record. And then I'm just going to give you the headline of this one. Starbreeze Q1 losses increased 471%. If you want the whole rundown of that, you can go to Jeffrey Rousseau over on GamesIndustry.biz. No. Yeah, that's right. GamesIndustry.biz. That's what I screwed up. GamesIndustry.biz, where he talks about Starbreeze and what's going on for there. And like the company noted that Payday accounted for nearly all of its revenue. Okay. Good luck to you there. And the final sales thing I'll give you, number 7 on the Roper Report. Elden Ring, of course, is doing very well. Richard Walker over at PlayStationTrophies.org writes, Bandai Namco has confirmed that Elden Ring has now shipped over 13.4 million units as of the end of March 2022, with an additional 1.4 million copies added to its running total within the latter half of the same month. Quote, it's astonishing to see how many people have been playing Elden Ring, the director said, of the 12 million unit milestone achieved within the game's first 3 weeks on sale. I'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks on behalf of the entire development team.
Yay.
Good job, Elden Ring. Sadly, you are not a Nintendo Indie World Wonder. Those have been given out. And once I enlarged them and saw that we're both in there, like I asked, we're both hiding over the E of our respective awards, a big fan. I can't wait to see what the future Indie World Wonders will be, but that's so far away. Janet, if I want some Morigi, Meaty Kid, Wick, and Mama Grab shops, where would I go?
Sure. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Real quick, too, I am timing out people in chat like Cinematic Gaming Media who say Village greater than Medium. So be careful if you want to go on that hill and die, all right? Out today, Neptunia Cross Senran Kagura Ninja Wars is on PC. Source of Madness is on PC and Switch. Brigadine, The Legend of Runersia is on PC. Soundfall, which we talked about earlier, the heavily anticipated rhythm-based looter shooter, is out on PC, PS4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and Nintendo Switch. Meanwhile, of course, Mini Motorways is out on Switch, like we were talking about again. And then don't forget, you can stand toe-to-toe with Godzilla and King Kong in Call of Duty Warzone during the limited time Operation Monarch mode that is out right now. New dates for you. Lovecraft's Untold Stories 2 has been delayed until a later date, but we don't have that date for you. It's looking good over here. You know what I mean? Because you got Uncle Death saying Village sucks. Nailed it. Parks says Village and Medium both bid.
From cinematic. You got a power struggle going on here.
Parks, Village and Medium both mid. That is also correct.
The person said they're both games. That is also true.
Also true. Yeah, no, again, I want to make sure we're very clear.
Finally, an objective review. I'm tired of these opinions.
I'm not saying that The Village is a 10 out of 10. I thought The Village was what when we played. I was like, it's fine. It's a 6 or something. Or maybe a 7. I enjoyed it. That's how little I enjoyed Village. That's how little I enjoyed Village.
You didn't want to cook the food?
No, I didn't. Janet, we asked people watching live. No, that's not right. We asked people just watching to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Support us. Find out what's going on with Jorge. We also say you can squad up. This is where you give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun together. Right now, Jake Osborne needs help on the PlayStation 5. Jake's name is Just That Good 184, all one word. Just That Good 184. Jake says, hi, kind of funny best friends. I'm going for the platinum in Elden Ring, and I am in desperate need of help, but not with a boss fight. The only trophy I need to unlock, besides the three endings, is the trophy for collecting every legendary armament. Due to a bug with the trophy, to unlock it, you need to actually have all 9 legendary weapons in your inventory at the same time. Unfortunately for me, some 70 hours of gameplay ago, I sold the grafted greatsword and cannot buy it back. I simply need someone to drop the weapon for me so I can pick it up and pop the trophy, and then I will give it right back. I'm level 160, so to return the favor, I will help you with any boss fight or area you may need help with. I'm usually online during the week anytime after 7 p.m. Eastern. Please spare me from the platinumless fate of a younger, naive me set out for myself. Thank you so much. It's like I see a sentence coming and I'm like,
it's like you didn't render all the way over there. You were just like
damn, over in the live chat, yeah. Tamor H says, I have the weapon and I'm happy to not help. Get good.
Wow. Also, what people kind of are pointing out in the chat you can do it in New Game Plus as well.
Because, Jake wants to help out with people and just be done with it. And I understand that. I respect that. Right. If you can help Jake on a PlayStation 5.
Taking a toxic turn with his Resident Evil Village, and now you don't want to help your fellow community member. I mean, you hate to see it.
Just That Good 184 on the PlayStation 5 if you want to help that out and get over there and do your thing. All right, great. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody doing stuff later. Ezo 57 says, you said Source of Madness is out only on PC and Switch. It's also on PlayStation 4 and 5 and the Xboxes. Well, again, you can take it up with releases.com, which is not a great site, but again, Zach over Kotaku sitting there being one of the laziest motherfuckers I've ever seen. He no longer does This Week in Games. I can't help it. I'm trying to do my job over here, which is copying other people's homework, and like, I can't, well, you know, the Source of Madness or whatever the fucking game was, they didn't send me the press release. So if I don't have the press release to grab the information, I'm just lost on the internet. You know what I mean?
It's a hard job.
It's a hard job, Janet. That's the other thing, people. They just don't respect and understand how hard, Janet, it is for you and me. Are you all even fucking thinking for a second that I got up, I took care of my son, I reacted to the Indie World, I came with amazing thoughts, we set up this whole bit for Indie World Wonder, I held up a fucking filing cabinet, I've been talking for nonstop for an hour, I'm about to help Jorge get a goddamn job? No. What you want to do is be like, hey, you also didn't talk about the PlayStation version of this. I want you all to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now and donate $100 and think about what you're fucking doing with your life, all right?
I mean, Greg, it just doesn't seem like you're a big supporter of the PlayStation platform.
It just feels to me, Barrett, like
I didn't care about We Are OFK until I came to
Ladies classic and gentlemen,
Nintendo fanboy.
We gotta go help Jorge get a job in the Patreon post show that you can get on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can write into the show. You can get the show ad-free. And of course, you can watch us record the Gamescast live today where we are deciding the top 5 developers currently making video games. You could have fun with that and be part of that and watch it live. But right now, you got to get ready for the other stuff. And so tomorrow, it's going to be me and Tim hosting Kind of Funny Games Daily. We'll see if he can rise to this occasion. You know what I mean? Janet and me got lightning in a bottle over here. And Tim, he's a half-used piece of toothpaste tube, and he just sucks. You know what I mean? You think I'm holding up a filing cabinet tomorrow for Tim? No fucking way. And then Friday, it's going to be Tam and Tim for a Tim Tam Friday. If you're watching live, you're going to get a Kind of Funny morning show that I'm sure they're pissed I'm 16 minutes late to get them to. But don't worry about it. If you want to catch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. If you want to see everybody wrestle, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and watch KFW. This has been great. We've had a lot of fun. Like I said, banger of a post show coming up. We're going to get Jorge a job. So until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.